Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Our first Bible reading is from the book of Psalms, at Psalm 23. This is a psalm that has brought just amazing comfort to people over thousands of years. It's reflected on the truth of these verses, and you can follow along in the service order, and I'm going to invite Rachel Matthew to come and share this reading with us.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second Bible reading is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, a small little town in Asia Minor, which we know today as modern-day Turkey. Again, I encourage you to follow along this reading in your service booklet. Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Keith and I have been mates for about 8 years. I met him at the door on my first Sunday here at Deep Creek when I was appointed to lead the church in early 2007. That first Sunday, as he went to leave, he fixed his eyes on me. He shoved out a very well-worn hand and he welcomed me like an old friend. He wanted to have a chat. He didn't talk to me about cricket or football, although I would have been pretty keen to hear about it. He didn't tell me about his growing prowess on the greens. I wouldn't have been able to contribute much to the conversation anyway, because draw shots and touches and block shots, they're all a bit foreign to me. Now, despite all of Keith's great sporting abilities and his love of sport, Keith started to talk to me straight away about the person who had radically changed his life. And this person is described strikingly in that second reading, and I encourage you just to keep that reading before you from Colossians 1. And the first and big point about this person so radically changed Keith's life is that the person is God. So the reading starts, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That is, God's Son is the image of the invisible God. The one who was referred to as the Son reveals God to us. In this one, we actually have a revelation of what God is like, what he's really like. You see, there is nothing about God that we need to know that we can't see in the one described in this passage. And he's described as the firstborn over all creation. That doesn't mean he was the first of all created. Doesn't mean that, because immediately goes on and emphasises that this one is the one through whom all of creation came into being. The Son is the Supreme One. He makes the invisible visible. He makes the distant near. And he makes the unknowable known. The reason why he is the firstborn over all creation is then given. It's because he is the creator and he is the sustainer of life. In that second sentence in the reading, it begins with for. That is, because. Because in him all things were created. That is, it is in this one who so radically changed Keith's life, that everything has been created. All of God's creative work is in reference to the Son. But more than that, the Son's actually supreme over the whole spirit realm. Nothing in the spirit realm is able to rival this one described in the passage. For in him all things were created, things in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is just a stunning statement. I want you just to think a little bit about the immensity of space. Imagine you could get into the fastest jet that's been developed. I think it's something like an SR-71 Blackbird. It has an official speed of about 4,000 kilometres an hour. So take that and somehow engineer it so it can fly 100 times faster at 400,000 kilometres per hour. You'll have to follow the maths. Then we're going to take it on a trip into space. In 1 hour, you'll be at the moon. To get to the centre of just our galaxy, the Milky Way, it will take 80 million years. The next closest galaxy, known as Andromeda, it's going to take us 7 billion years to get there. I don't know, maybe I didn't mention, there's 100 billion estimated galaxies. And to get to the edge of the visible universe, that's going to take us 40 million, million years. But I could probably just sum all that up and go, space is big. It is really big. But bring our focus in. We produce 200 billion new red blood cells a day in our bodies. A blood journeys through this labyrinth of 97,000 kilometres of blood vessels from the heart and back, and it does it in less than a minute. Pause and think about it. Creation is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling in its immensity, in its detail, in its precision, in its variety, and in its splendour. And there is one who brought all of this into existence. And he's the one who Keith worshipped. He's the one who Keith served. And the passage says a third thing. It says he is God, he is the creator and sustainer, and says he is the only saviour, right towards the end of your reading there. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. The one who was the focus of Keith Rocker's life is the God-man. Fully God, fully man. And we're told that all of God's fullness dwells in him. We're told something more than that. We're told that he became like us. Sinless, but he became like us so that he could be our perfect sacrifice. Friends, as we head towards Christmas, this is the wonder of Christmas and Easter coming together. Keith, the man I knew, never got over how this person had touched his life. Who is this one that I keep referring to. It's Jesus. Not just a prophet, not just some super duper guy, and not just a miracle worker, not just a famous teacher, way more than that. He is the one who changed Keith's life. He's the one who Keith worshipped. He's the one who excited Keith. He's the one who Keith served. He's the living God. And God in love has supremely revealed himself by coming amongst us. How could Keith be so certain that Jesus is in fact the living God? How could he be so certain? Keith's answer, like all of his answers, would be very basic, be very straightforward. He'd go, Rod, because Jesus rose from the dead. For Keith, for myself, the resurrection is absolutely fundamental. If you're not sure about the one who Keith worshipped, then I encourage you to check out the veracity of the resurrection. The baby who was worshipped in a Christmas manger is none other than God who has come and taken on human flesh. The one dying on a cross is none other than God who has taken on humanity. And he's described in these words in our reading. Jesus reconciles all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The one who has an empty tomb is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who in an instant, welcomed Keith into his presence, Monday, 8th of December, it's about 8:15 as I looked at the clock, that one who welcomed him into his presence is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we come here today to celebrate Keith's life. We come here to remember him. We come here to give thanks for just his huge contributions, without any exaggeration, to the local community. We come here honouring a great husband, a great father, a loving pa. We come to mourn and share in the grieving of his passing. We come here, Pauline, in love and support for you and for the rest of the family. But on top of all of that, let me tell you with 101% confidence, there is one thing supremely that Keith would want today. Keith would want all of us, each of us, to know how absolutely fantastic is his Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Keith would want all of us to have that same personal relationship with the living God that he enjoyed. The Lord radically changed Keith's life, touched his life as a man in his early 50s. My enduring memories of Keith is he never got over the grace. What do I mean by grace? The free gift. He never got over the free gift of God who picked him up, forgave his sins, and changed him. Now, the arms of the Heavenly Father are open wide. He lovingly calls all of us to come to him, to find real life, not just existence, to have eternal life, to know with certainty the forgiveness of sins. So we do grieve Keith's passing. He'll be greatly missed. Most of all, he'll be missed by his wife of 58 years. He'll be missed by his family. He'll be missed by this church. He'll be missed by so many friends in the local community. But in our sadness and grieving, hold on to this certainty. Keith knows experientially the truth of Jesus' words. Jesus is standing before a tomb. Inside that tomb is his friend Lazarus, who's dead. And he turns to Lazarus' sister Martha and says this, I am the resurrection and the life. those who believe in me, even though they die, yet will they live. So friends, my prayer is that all of us will find real comfort from the Christian gospel. The gospel that Jesus died, that he rose again, and that he's coming back. We come together to remember, to celebrate, to give thanks for the life of Keith. We come together today sharing our grief, sharing our sorrow at his passing. And it is at such a time as this that the Lord speaks to us, the one who's the God of all comfort, the one who is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help to all who trust in him.